What do you think about this weather? A mixed response. Yeah. You know, can you think back into your mind of a time maybe when you were younger, when you were in a massive, major rainstorm and it's thundering and lightning, and the lightning is so loud it scares you? Remember those times? And how many of us have thought, wow, I wonder if this is it? You ever thought that? Yeah. Because it just gets so dark and so, you know, all of us know what it's like to be caught in some kind of storm, whether it's a snowstorm, rainstorm, windstorm. And there's another storm that we all experience, and that's those life storms. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to talk to you a little bit about when caught in life's unexpected storms. And our text this morning is Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And we're going to be finishing this chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 35 through 41. Now we're going to read an account of when the disciples of Jesus Christ were caught in an unexpected storm, and how they responded, and we're going to see what the Lord did and how the Lord revealed himself in a greater way to them and brought greater depth to them. And I want to tell you up front what the main lesson of today's teaching is, so that way you can grasp it. Maybe even some of you can write it down. And I think it's very, very helpful for us to learn this lesson. It's not the main lesson, but one of the main lessons that I'm going to be focusing on. And the lesson is that the Lord is in constant control over every situation. Therefore, we can trust him. No matter what storm, some of you are in a storm. You're in one of those storms of life. And there are two reasons that I've discovered, maybe there are many more, but at least two reasons that I want to share with you of why we find ourselves in storms. Some are storms we start by our own doing, and it could turn to be something good if we learn the lessons. Sometimes we get ourselves into trouble, and God will allow us to go through the consequences so that way he can bring us into harmony with his will. So if we're confronted and we come to a place where we realize, you know, I was the one who caused this. It's my fault. God, I'm sorry. And we are humbled and repentant. And God can work with that kind of heart. And then he brings us back into his will. And then the second type of storm is the storms that are started for us. And that's the storm we're going to be looking at today. It was a storm that was not started by the disciples. It was a storm that Jesus, I'm sure he knew it was going to happen and he allowed it, but he brought it on. The disciples did nothing wrong. But those types of storms that we get caught in, that God ordains, those types of storms develop us. And we have to be conscious of that. That God wants to grow us up spiritually. And so often, it's through the trials of life that we're more pliable, we're more open to God's will. We depend upon the Lord. If we're doing what's right and we're seeking the Lord, well, then he's going to cause us to grow. And it's through those times where our faith is challenged, when we're hurting, where we're suffering, when we cry out to God, as we'll see the disciples did, and then we get a greater revelation of who God is, and we get to see also where we are at, and we can look to the Lord for help so we can grow spiritually. We're always growing and developing. And one of the things that God desires for us to really come to a mature place in and our spiritual development is that fact that Jesus can be trusted in every situation. You know, sometimes we can trust him for the little things of life, but then when we're confronted with something big, we lose faith. And the Lord wants us to know that no matter what it is, he can be trusted because he's the master over every situation. Things may not go the way we would like them to go, but when we come to a mature understanding that God is in control of all things and that he loves us, he loves us, he loves you so much, you're so special to him. When he created you, he created you with love in his heart. When he willed for you to be here in this time, in this generation, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And because he loves you, he will never allow you to go through anything that's not his best plan for you. And sometimes we have a hard time grasping that. And in the end, those of us who really know him, because our eternity is secure, we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. And what a great joy, what a great hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus, he told his disciples, as we're going to read, let us cross over to the other side. He never told them that the journey was going to be easy. But when the Lord says we're going to cross over to the other side, the Lord means we're going to cross over to the other side. And for some of us, we have that promise of everlasting life. Jesus is going to get us to the other side. We're going to cross over because he's promised us eternal life. But he never promised us that the journey would be easy. He did say, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And because we are in Christ, we have overcome. We are more than overcomers. We're more than conquerors in Jesus, who has won the victory and has allowed us to share in the glorious victory. And for those of us who are caught in life's unexpected storms, I just wanted to put those things up front so you can hold on to them and allow them to comfort your heart. One scripture, we're going to share many, but one I want to look at right now that brings me comfort is found in Psalm 27, verse 10. You don't have to turn there, but you could jot it down, where the psalmist wrote, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. You know, and parents are a huge figure in our lives. And so the greatest pillars in our lives, when they're not there, the psalmist is reminding the reader that God is always there. And he does care. And the reason why I bring it up is because so often when we're caught in those unexpected storms, the natural reaction is, where are you? Where are you, God? Don't you care? Don't you care about what I'm going through? Oh, yes, he does. He does. And sometimes we just need to be reminded that he does care. And the psalmist and the scriptures do a great job of reminding us of his care. And now I draw your attention to verse 35, where Mark writes, on the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Now, if you remember, as we've been going through this gospel, on this day, Jesus was very, very busy working, serving, primarily teaching. He had spent many, many hours investing in people's lives, teaching multitudes of people things about the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, teaching can be somewhat of a tiring experience. I couldn't imagine what it would be like for Jesus to teach hour after hour, and there's tons of people there listening, to the point where, you know, humanly speaking, he, no doubt in his humanity, he was getting tired, physically tired. And he probably turned to his disciples. He says, hey, let's go to the other side. And his disciples had to grab him just the way he was. There was no time. He said, all right, come on, let's just go. And they just grabbed him, put him in the boat. They all went with other little boats. There was probably, I don't know how many of the apostles were there. Maybe all 12 of them were there. And I'm sure these were small boats. They didn't all fit in one boat, so they took little boats. But they all started on this journey across the Sea of Galilee. Now, at the widest point of the Sea of Galilee, it's about 8 miles. That's kind of like from here, Ridge Road, right in front, to Walmart of a distance. But he was at Capernaum, which was a little bit up the way north, and so it probably wasn't that much of a distance, 8 miles. But nevertheless, they started on this journey. And verse 37, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, it was a very common thing, especially in the evening, that the Sea of Galilee would experience these very strong windstorms. And that was because the Sea of Galilee was about 700 feet below sea level, and then there was mountains, and you'd get that warm air at the sea level, you know, connecting with that cooler air from above, and some windstorms, very strong gusts of winds would be the result of it. And, you know, Jesus was in good company. A lot of these guys, his disciples, they were fishermen, and so they were not unfamiliar with the Sea of Galilee. They were not unfamiliar with the sea. And these guys were. I would imagine strong men and very experienced, so they were in good company, but this storm was something that was very, very strong, unusually strong. Although there was often windstorms, this one was one that was so strong they thought they were going to lose their lives. And it says in verse 38, but Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And that goes to show his humanity. He was probably so exhausted from ministering that he fell asleep and he was out. He was out. How many of you have slept through some, because you're so tired, you slept through storms, and the next day you talk to somebody in your family, did you hear the thunder last night? Yeah, no, I didn't. It was raining so hard, pouring. I didn't hear a thing. I slept like a rock. And Jesus, he was out. Just sleeping, peace, no troubles, no worries. And the boat, and the great windstorm arose, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? So these guys had to be terrified for these experienced men to think, you know what, this is it. It's horrible. And we're not going to make it. Now, Jesus had done several miracles, and they ran to him. And that was the wisest thing. Even though they lacked faith, as Jesus is going to say, hey, where's your faith? They did the wisest thing. They ran to him, and they said, hey, don't you care that we are perishing? Maybe that's not the wisest thing to say, but it was certainly the wisest thing to do, to go to him. And so Jesus, he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. So in reality, there's two miracles that took place. The first one, he just rebuked the wind and the wind stopped. But think about the waves. the waves would probably still be going, wouldn't you imagine, if the water was real boisterous. So not only did the waves or did the wind stop, but the waves, it just, the sea came right under a great calm. So here he addressed the problem. But then he turned to the disciples, because the greatest problem was in their hearts. You know, the storm wasn't the greatest problem. It wasn't the greatest danger. You know what the real danger was? That they really didn't know who they were with. The real danger was their unbelief. And I think that that's the greatest danger in all of humanity, is unbelief. When we don't really trust in the Lord. And you know, there are some folks here in this room, some of us, we are learning at different times in our lives where that we lack faith. We think we're doing good, don't we? Sometimes we think, wow, we've been reading the Bible for a few years, we've grown spiritually, we're out sharing our faith, and we're starting, some of us, we start to feel that, man, I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. And we don't realize how often we are so far from where we really need to be until God, he allows a storm to come in because he wants to develop us. And then that storm will come in and the heart gets troubled and we learn a huge lesson. And sometimes we learn that lesson that, wow, I thought I really believed and trusted in you, but I learned that my faith is still, I'm still not really trusting in you. And there are some of you here that the danger for you is you've never really put faith in Christ. And that could be a very dangerous thing, because no matter what you go through in this life, that can be painful and could make you feel almost to a point where internally you're devastated. The worst thing that can ever happen to you is suffer in this life and then pass from this life and face God in eternity and end up going to hell because you rejected his son Jesus Christ, because you wouldn't believe, you wouldn't put your faith in his son Jesus Christ, even though you heard the message, you heard many times, and you still in your heart, you know, no, not now, not now. And the thing is you just never know. You never know when that day is going to come for you. And so the most important thing to do is to believe. And one of the things I love about the Lord is that he works with us. He's patient. Imagine if the first time you did something wrong, lightning came from heaven, and that was it, you're gone. How many times have we blown it? Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, how many times have you sinned against God? And God has been merciful to you. You're still here, aren't you? But one of the things we want to do is we don't want to take for granted the grace of God and the mercy of God. And I exhort any of you who are here and you're not putting your faith in Christ, today is the day of salvation. Turn to the Lord. He loves you. He's patient with you, but he's given you another opportunity today to make that commitment to his son, Jesus Christ. The Father's given you that opportunity right now, and you can do that right now in your heart. And then other of us, we're growing, we're developing. He's patient with us. He allows us times to express ourselves. I'm so blessed to read that they were very blunt, and they went to the Lord. Don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? I'm glad that God allows us to express ourselves, to come to him and say, hey, where are you? I need you. Help me. You know, there's times where the psalmist, if you read in the Psalms, Psalm 13, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist would express expressions of, Lord, where are you? How long? For example, David, he writes, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? He's feeling like there's no spiritual connection, having sorrow in my heart daily. And he says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God, and enlighten my eyes. He says, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He was feeling like he was going to die. And no doubt David had enemies that were out trying to snuff his life out. So he was probably in tons of fear. He was in a storm of life. But God had a plan for David, King David, one of the greatest men that's ever been on this planet. And David was, his life wasn't going to be taken from him 1 second sooner than God had ordained, and nothing can hurt or hinder him from fulfilling God's plan. And that's true of all of us. You know, God's in control. He loves you. You're not going to leave here 1 second sooner than God has ordained. You're not going to be here 1 second longer. And if God has led you and is leading you in a very certain direction, you know it's the Lord. And then as time goes on, you start doubting. You start wondering, God, where are you? You know, don't lose hope. It's good to express how you feel with respect because it's God. But don't lose hope because the things that God ordains, God sustains. And if he's called you to live for him and things are going tough, don't get discouraged. Hang in there because he's working in you and he's going to continue to develop you, even though right now you might feel like, God, where are you? How many of you are in that situation now? Go ahead, raise your hand. How many of you right now are like, God, where are you? Well, I thank God for your honesty. And it's a tough place to be in, no doubt about that. And so again, in verse 40, he says to them, he says, why are you so fearful? The word fearful, another word that describes that is faithless. Why are you so faithless? He told his disciples. Now, humanly speaking, I'd be scared too. Wouldn't you be scared if you were in a situation where you thought you were going to lose your life? But again, he told them. He says, let's go to the other side. You know, someone said, and I quote, when Jesus says we're going over, you don't have to worry because we're not going under. He says, why are you so fearful or faithless? How is it that you have no faith? And then the remarkable thing is what is said after. This is like after this storm is calm, they're still afraid. They're even more afraid. I thought that was unusual. I would think that they would be so happy and so not afraid, but it says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So they were afraid during the storm, but then after the storm, they are even more afraid. And you know why that is? And I think it's because they started to realize who Jesus was. And you know, sometimes that's how faith develops, by more little greater revelations of who Jesus is. And it was really starting to impact them. And I think the biggest message, the greatest message in this text is that Jesus is the Lord over creation. And as we've been going through this gospel, we've seen that Jesus is the authority. He has authority over death or diseases, authority over demons. He has the authority to forgive sin. And now we see he has the authority over creation. And so these guys, they were continuing to learn about who Jesus was. And there's, I'm not going to say 100% they got it, but they were getting it. And you and I, we could relate to that, huh? And so they were afraid, but in a good way. They had developed a reverential awe, a greater reverence for Jesus. And so I think pretty much that's the message for this morning. We could sum it up with just a few more words, and then we'll pray. If you're in one of those storms, I just want to encourage you this with this. The boat will not sink, and the storm will not last forever. And for some of us, these are the final words, and you need to take heed to this. A question could be to summarize this is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Some of you haven't answered that question yet, but you have to answer that question because the Bible tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And so you could do it then, but it will be too late. Or you could do it now. Who is Jesus? Jesus is Lord. The question for you is, will you trust him? Will you trust him? And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would take the things that were heard today and etch them in our hearts. And Lord, each one of us are in different places, and so we come and we ask, God, that you would reach us where we're at. There are some here who don't know you, and you're reaching out to them. And I pray, God, that they would let go of whatever it is that's hindering them from turning to you, and that they would confess you, even in these closing moments, as Lord and Savior of their lives. Lord, I pray for those who know you and are caught in one of those unexpected storms. I pray that your word has helped them. Help them to realize that, Lord, you are in control of all things. You're the master of all situations. And that you love us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you're able to do great things, even in the midst of what seems to be so troubling, so dark, so hard. You're able to cause us to grow and to develop and work it out for our good and for your glory. And so, God, I pray that you would do that work here in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.